This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Parshas told us. So for tonight's Parshas share, I've chosen four, I hope, very interesting Divrei Torah to share with you. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com and I'll happily send you the handouts. The Parsha says, begins on the back of last week's Parsha with the death of Avram Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu is now 15 years old. His grandfather Avram has passed away. And he is cooking lentils, as Rashi tells us. That's the way of mourning that you have. Rashi gives two reasons. One, lentils, because they're round, which is the sort of the Galgal HaChayz La'ilam. This is the cycle of life. More than that, Rashi says that lentils have no opening. It's like an oval. Ein lo peh, he has no mouth. Ein lo, he's got nothing to say. So he's cooking lentils. Esav comes in from the field, and Vayome Esav, the first box, Hine onechi holech lomus v'lomo ze li b'chayra. He says he's famished, he's exhausted. The Gemara tells us he's been up to three averes chamuros. He's been doing terrible things. He comes in exhausted, and he asks Yaakov for this bowl of lentils. And Yaakov, as we know, tells him that I'll sell it to you. I'll sell it to you. You give me the bechira, I'll sell it to you. And the pasuk says, "Lomo zeli bechira." Esav said, "Why do I need this bechira?" So Rashi tells us a bit more of the background. Says Rashi, "Omo Esav mativa shel avodazu." What is this bechira? This birthright? What is it? Omelai. So Yaakov responded, "Kama as horos for ancient umisas tluyin ba." There are many warnings and many penalties, punishments that are connected to it. Ka'isas shaninu, like we've learned. Eluhen Shabamisa Shesuya Yain, a person, a Kohen, goes into the Beis HaMikdash, she's had a drink of wine, even a small glass of wine, a revius of wine, or Pri Rosh. There are lots of things he could do that he could suffer very severe punishments and consequences. It's like working in a radioactive environment. You've got to be very careful. So says Esau, back to Yaakov, says Rashi, Oma Ani Holech Lamus Al Yoda. This is dangerous. This could cause my death. In Cain, mach chifetz libo, what do I want it for? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, he says, the pasuk tells me, vayivez Esav etz habechira, that Esav sort of scorned the birthright. But wasn't his thinking reasonable? You know, he's being offered this privilege, but on the other hand, it comes with enormous responsibility. He's right that a person steps out of line, that he could be, you know, he could be chayav misa for it. So it's somewhat reasonable for him to turn around and say, actually, I prefer not. Why is he castigated so severely? So let's take a look at Rav Moshe. It's a very important lesson that he teaches. Paragraph 1b. Says Rav Moshe in Drash Moshe, V'lechayra t'mua, mashenechshav ze lebizoyin ha-bechayra. Why is he called discarding or disparaging the bechayra? Maybe because of the awesomeness of the Bechira, he's just scared to take it on. The Nira, says Rav Moshe, a person has to undertake certain responsibilities, even if it involves some very heavy responsibility. Even though there may be many issues involved in it, opportunity knocks, you can't just throw it away. Even though if a person has a good time and not to take it, still, it could be considered bizoyin. Even though it means a big responsibility, but yet a person should think, I'm doing this l'kvod shemayim, he shouldn't be too quick to dismiss it. Many people don't want to take the mantle of leadership of Rabbonus because it's not easy, it's difficult, it's responsibility, etc. Says Rav Moshe, a person shuns responsibility in Achrayas, that's considered a bizoyin. Well, I heard recently, there's a meaningful interviews that I occasionally listen to. My wife and the kids are very into it. And they often recommend some of the stuff, some of the interviews for me to listen to. And I listened to snippets of a recent interview where they interviewed someone, I forget his name, who knew Rav Moshe Feinstein very, very well. And he says he remembers when Rav Moshe was at the Levaya of Aaron Kotler. That was in 1962. Now, the two Gedolim in America were Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Aaron Kotler. When Rav Aaron passed away in 1962, Rav Moshe was walking to the Levaya, and he was muttering to himself. He couldn't believe that Rav Aaron is no longer there. And he mentioned, he says, and now, he says, everything falls on my shoulders. Till then, they were able to share it between them. And now it falls on my shoulders. There was no shirking. There was no, you know, I'm going to run off somewhere else. Says Rav Moshe, it's my responsibility. It's going to fall on my shoulders. Literally practicing what he preaches. And this idea is also seen in Megillas Rus, an amazing insight into Megillas Rus. Take a look at the third box on the page. Uboyaz Ola Hashar Vayeshev Sham, the final fourth parak of Megillas Rus. We know the story. Rus marries the two sons of Naomi and Elimelech, and they die. And then she comes back to Eretz Yisrael, and some form of Yibum takes place. Boaz is going to do it, but he knows a Kor of a relative who's even more closely related than he is, because Elimelech has two brothers, and the one of the brothers is more closely related than Boaz is. So the pasuk says, "Boaz ol hashar vayeshev shom, v'hinei ha-goyel over." And this goyel, the redeemer, the person who is actually the brother of Elimelech, in other words, Naomi's brother-in-law, and Rus's uncle, vayoyim, and Boaz says to him, "Sura shva ploni almoni vayosav vayeshev." Come and sit down, ploni almoni. And basically, Pliny Almoni decides not to do Yibum and not to marry Rus. We don't know his name. He's called Pliny Almoni, and that now is the classic example of sort of Joe Bloggs, of John Smith, right? Sort of Mr. Anonymous. He's called Pliny Almoni. So everyone asks, Pliny Almoni has got a name. What did he do wrong? He didn't want to marry Rus. He had legitimate reasons not to do so. In fact, if you look at Rashi, why is he called Pliny Almoni? So Rashi says, Pliny Almoni lenichtav shemai, lefishalei ovaligo. We don't say his name because he didn't want to redeem, he didn't want to do Yibon and marry Rus. Almoni, Almoni bli shem, he's sort of anonymous without a name. But says Rashi, Svarim Achirim, Almoni shahaya Almoni medivrei Torah. He was sort of ignorant, divorced, or widowed of divrei Torah. Shahaya lelidrosh Almoni v'lo Almoni, smavi v'lo amavis. Why didn't he want to marry? Because he thought, I don't want to marry Rus, she's from Moav, and you can't marry into Moav. But he didn't realize that the Psak Halacha was Moavi v'lo Moavis. Either way, he had a concern, but he chose not to. Is that enough to call him anonymous? Call him by his name. So my friend quotes a sefer called the Nachlas Yosef, who says a very powerful explanation. He says that taking on a position of leadership, stepping up, is such a wonderful privilege that if you don't do it, you are going to be cast into eternal anonymity. And that's exactly what happens. We don't know his name. We know Boaz, he was the one who married Rus, and Boaz is forever linked as being the great-grandfather of David HaMelech, and ultimately the whole, the whole Shalsheles, the whole Davidic dynasty, Melech Moshiach ultimately, because Boaz stepped up to the challenge and Pliny Almoni decided against it and therefore just discarding that opportunity. I always tell the boys and the girls in school, I tell them, an opportunity comes your way, never say no. At least just say, think about it. Maybe. Sometimes the answer is no, but at least not to be too quick to turn around and say no. That, the famous case, we all know the Gateshead Kollel here in England, the premier Kollel, the Gateshead Kollel that has produced outstanding Talmidei Chachamim and leaders, not just here in the UK, but all over the world. How did it start? Rav David Dryan, famously, the Sheikhet of Gateshead, he wrote 22 letters to great Talmidei Chachamim all over Europe. And only one, I think one replied, said no, and one replied and said, if you're next in London, come and let's talk about it. Who was that? Rav Dessler. And Rav Dessler, sure enough, took up the position. He set up the Gateshead Kollel with all the wonderful things that have happened since then because of it. And he became the famous, the head of the Gateshead Kollel, and then later the Mashgiach Imponovich, Michtar Meliyahu, etc., etc., etc. So saying no to opportunities is a big responsibility. That is the first idea, the first lesson of this week's parsha. Let's move on. Then the pasuk says, after Yaakov goes in and gets the brachas, Esav has been, he comes in, he tries to get to the brachas. He realizes that Yitzchak has already given the brachas to Yaakov, and he is furious. The pasuk says, "Vayistem Esav es Yaakov al habracha asher barcha aviv." He hates Yaakov because of the brachas that his father Yitzchak gave him. "Vayoyme Esav beliboy," and Esav says, "Yikru v'yimei evel avi v'harga es Yaakov achi." Let's wait until the days of mourning for my father Yitzchak, and I'm going to kill Yaakov. Now we're familiar with the psukim, but let's just think about it for a moment. What is he saying? I'm going to wait until the Yemei Evel Ovi, the days of mourning of my father. That means I'm going to wait for Yitzchak to die. And when Yaakov is sitting Shiva, then that'll be a perfect opportunity to kill him. That's what he's saying. Now Yaakov was old at the time, but he lived many, many years after this. So he could wait decades. And in fact, he did wait decades until Yitzchak died. So why wait until the Yemei Evel Ovi, the days of mourning, that Yitzchak should die in order to murder Yaakov? So the Kli Yakar gives an astonishing insight. Look at the Kli Yakar. Tola hadova b'mei Evel, l'fisha ovel osa laso batorah. Because an ovel, a mourner, is forbidden to learn Torah. Why? Ki pekudei Hashem yesharim, mesam chilev. Learning Torah generates a simcha, and therefore an ovel cannot learn Torah. When Yaakov is sitting Shiva, he won't be able to engage in learning Torah. His guard, his defense, his shield will be down. Then will be an opportunity that I'll be able to kill him, says Esav. That's why an oval needs an extra type of shmirah, a certain protection, because he's not able to learn Torah. I saw in the writings of Rabbi Avi Shulman on the Kli Yakar, he says, but an Ovel is allowed to learn many parts of Torah. So what exactly is the problem? There's lots of, I remember once going into a shiva, a certain Talmud Chacham was sitting shiva, and he had opened a Shulchan Aruch, he was learning Hilchas Avelus. So he can learn. Says Rabbi Avi Shulman, you see from this Kli Yakar that learning Torah without Simcha is not the same as learning Torah with Simcha. When is Torah Megin? When you're learning it without Simcha. Says Esav, I know that the only way I'm going to be able to get to Yaakov is when he hasn't got the protection of Torah. But what type of Torah protects? Only Torah which is learned by Simcha, with a certain joy, with a happiness that can protect. And this idea is actually reflected in an amazing Aruch Chaim. The Aruch Chaim says, if you look at the bottom box, when a person has got to learn Torah b'simcha, not with sadness, because divrei Torah are also for the oval. The halach in Yeridin, Simon Shin Pei Dalet. So the Aruch Chaim says that a reason that the oval can't learn Torah is because the Torah needs to be learned with simcha, not with sadness. I'm reading the biography, I'm nearly finished, of the Pnei Menachem. The Pnei Menachem, or Pinchas Menachem Alta, was the youngest son of the Imre Emes, of the Ger Rebbe. He was the Ger Rebbe in the early 90s. He was the Ger Rebbe when I was in Yeshiva in the Mir. I often used to daven there on Friday night. The Ger on Friday night is a very beautiful davening. They have a choir. And it's a very, very majestic, very beautiful davening. I often went there on Friday night. And he was the Rebbe when I was in the Mir. He passed away, I think, around 1996. He was the youngest son of the Imre Emes. The Imre Emes was the son of the Sfas Emes, who was the grandson of the Chidush Arim, who was the first Ger Rebbe. So the Pnei Menachem asks on this Aruch Chaim, so learn Torah without Simcha. Learn Torah even when you're not happy. Answers the Pnei Menachem, you see from here that learning Torah without Simcha is not called learning. It's an amazing insight and a very powerful way of understanding this Kli Yakar and our parsha. Okay, let's press on. Now, the next idea is, and I must tell you the next two ideas. I apologize. that I may have said this in the Parsha Shir in 2017, but I have got the Makoros for it, and therefore everything is on the sheet, and hopefully I'll expand a little bit on the two ideas that I did say back then. The pasuk says that when Esav comes in to Yitzchak, he's brought the meat, he's found the hunt, and he's gone in. And Yitzchak says, he's incredulous. He says, "I've given the bracha. Who are you?" He says, "I'm Esav." And suddenly the whole thing comes to light, and he says, "Bo achicha b'mirma v'yikach birchasecha." Says Yitzchak to Esav, "Your brother Yaakov has come b'mirma, and he's taken the brachas." Now, how would you translate b'mirma? I would translate b'mirma with deceit, with cunning, with guile. But says Rashi one word, b'mirma, b'chachma. And for many years, I was always troubled. Wherein lies the chachma? What exactly is Rashi getting at? So I came across an amazing insight of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, the great Ish HaLachama, the great Rav of Jerusalem. And he says this. The Mishnah says in Pesachim, in Perek Yud Mishnah Ches, Ein maftirin acha Pesach afikoymen. You're not allowed to eat anything after the afikoymen. Now, we know, Rashi tells us in this week's Parsha, that this whole event takes place on Seder night. Because when Rivka says, it says, Shnei Gdei Izim, so Rashi says, V'chi Shnei Gdei Izim hoyo ma'achole shel Yitzchak. Yitzchak's going to eat two goats, that's a lot of meat. One is going to be the matamim that will be made for him, and the other one will be the Korban Pesach. Therefore, when Yaakov would get in there first and would offer the food to his father, included in that was the Korban Pesach. This all took place on Seder night. The halacha is Ein Maftirin Achar Pesach Afikoymen, and therefore, once Yitzchak would eat from Yaakov's food, he would not be able to eat anything afterwards. You can't eat after Afikoman. Even therefore, if Esav would subsequently come in, Yitzchak wouldn't be able to partake of whatever Esav would bring him. That was the Chachma. The Chachma was that you're sort of thwarting Esav from giving any food to Yitzchak, and therefore any bracha Yitzchak would give would be lacking somewhat. Now, the icing on the cake, says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, is this. When the pasuk says "Bo achicha b'mirma," as Rashi says "b'chachma," says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld that the word "b'mirma" has the gematria of 287, which is the same gematria as afikoymen. "Bo achicha b'mirma" is hinting at the fact that Yaakov gave Yitzchak the korban pesach, which was the afikoymen, and therefore Yitzchak was not able to eat of anything that Esav brought in. That was the chachma. Okay. Now, the next idea is fascinating. I heard this from my friend Danny Fluss many years ago. I called him this week to ask him exactly where he heard it from. He gave me the Maramokum, so I'm looking forward to share it with you. At the very beginning of the parasha, we're told something which we know already. That is, when Yitzchak marries Rivka, we're told who exactly Rivka is. The pasuk says, "Vayitzchak ben Aboim Shono, v'kachdes Rivka bas Besuel ha'arami." Three things we're told. We're told he marries Rivka, who is the daughter of Besuel, from a place called Padan Aram. And third of all, she is the sister of Lavan Ha'arami. Rashi famously says in that pasuk, "V'chi adayinu nichtav shehi bas Besuel v'achis Lavan v'padan Aram." Interestingly, Rashi changes the order in the pasuk. Maybe another year, Ms. Hashem will go through a pshat on that. Rabbi Hartman told me an amazing pshat this year. Please go another year. Hashem should give us all koyach. Why does the pasuk tell us these three things? We know it already. Despite the fact that her father was wicked, Besuel, her brother Lavan was wicked, and she comes from a place of wickedness, she doesn't learn from any of their ways, and she is Rivka HaTzadeket. And in case we're not sure at all of who exactly is Lavan, says the Balaturim, quoting the Medrash, Lavan Ha'arami, you play around with the words Arami, and you get the words Haramai. Lavan is a crook, just in case we weren't sure. Okay, now, there is an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Yud Omed Aleph. The Gemara says, Hanoise Isha, Sorich She Yivdoik Ba'acheha. When you get married, you should check out the brothers of your potential wife, because that will give you a good indication. Why? Shenemar, Vayikach Aaron es Elisheva bas Aminodav achos nachshon. When Aaron HaKohen married Elisheva, the Torah describes her as bas Aminodav. She's the daughter of Aminodav. Achos nachshon, the sister of Nachshon. Says the Gemara there, Mimashma Shenemar bas Aminodav. The Torah tells me that she is bas Aminodav. Ein yodesh achos nachshon hi. Don't I know that she's therefore necessarily the sister of Nachshon? We know it's also Nachshon ben Aminodav, so I can work that out. Ma Talmud lema achas Nachshon, says the Gemara in Mikan, you see from here, she'anoy se'isha, tzorich she'yivdoik ba'achel. When you marry a woman, check out her brothers. Why? Tono, roiv bonim doimin la'acheyoin. Because the majority of children will be like the mother's brothers, achehoim, roiv bonim doimin laachehoim. And therefore, the Torah tells us, hints this to us at this point, that when Aaron married Elisheva, check out the brother Nachshon. Wow, what a big tzaddik! Because the majority of children will have some sort of connection; they'll be similar to the maternal uncle. Okay, good. That was all words of introduction. Now, let's go back to the end of the parasha. We're now after the whole business with Esau and Yaakov going in and getting the brachas, etc. Yaakov has got the brachas and he needs to run away. So the pasuk says in Perek Chavches, pasuk Hey, last box, Vayishlach Yitzchok es Yaakov. Yitzchok sends Yaakov away. Vayelech Padona Aram. He sends him back to Padna Aram. And Lavan to Lavan ben Besuel Harami. Achi Rivka, the brother of Rivka. He sends Yaakov over to Padna Aram, back to Lavan. Who is Lavan? Again, the Torah says, Achi Rivka, the brother of Rivka, Eim Yaakov Esav, who is the mother of Yaakov and Esav. Now, that certainly seems redundant. To be told now that Rivka is the mother of Yaakov and Esav, surely we know that already. And indeed, Rashi says, Eim Yaakov Esav, Eim Yodeh Mamanam Deini. I don't know what this teaches us. You know, Rashi on many times in Tanakh and in Gemara, he says, there's a Rekiv Eger, he lists all of them, that there are many times that Rashi, the greatest of the Mefarshim, puts his hands up and says, I don't know what this is teaching us. When the Pasuk says, Rivka is the mother of Yaakov and Esav, Mamlan Deini, what is this teaching us? So I came across this Maskil Adovid, and I thank Danny Fliss for this. Let's take a look at this bottom box. Kach Omelo Yitzchok Yaakov. This is what Yitzchok is telling Yaakov. Ani Sholkacho Etzalovam. I'm sending you to Lavan. Va'ato b'ni, and you, my dear son Yaakov, hishomer mimenu, be careful, take care of this Lavan. Lefisha eini yodeh ma maisov, I don't know who he is, I don't know what his nature is. Va'atam she'eini yodeh, and the reason why I don't know, lefisha eini me'achos ele beis bonin, his sister, i.e. Rivka, has two children, Yaakov and Esav, Yaakov tzadik and Esav rasha. V'yodua, and it's well known, quoting this Gemara in Bava Basra, she'rov habonim doim l'achyoim, that children will turn out, the majority of children will turn out, like the mother's brothers. Ach, b'shnayim, there's only two sons here, Yaakov and Esav. Lo shayach rov, there's no majority, I can't, if I want to find out who the uncle is, then it works both ways, I can look at the nephews. And if the majority of the kids are tzaddikim, I know the uncles are tzaddik, and vice versa. But here, there's only two children, Yaakov and Esav, and therefore there's no row of children who I can be guided by. And that's what he was saying. Ein yodeh, that's what Rashi means. Ein yodeh mamlam deini. Look at Rivka. That's what the Pasuk's adding. I'm sending you to Lavan. Who is Lavan? Achi Rivka, Eim Yaakov Esav, says Rashi. What Yitzchok is telling Yaakov is, be careful of this guy, because I don't know what his real nature is. Why don't I know? Because he is the brother of Rivka, who has two sons, Esav and Yaakov, and I don't, and therefore it doesn't guide me in any way as to who Lavan is, because one nephew is a Rosh, one's a Tzaddik, and there's no Rov Bonim that would indicate who he is. So it's a very cute and very nice insight into these cryptic words at the end of that Pasuk. So there we have four interesting ideas on this week's parasha. The first, that of Rav Moshe, that very sobering and powerful idea that Esau is vayivez es apochera, but he had legitimate concerns. This is radioactive. The birthright, being the Bechor, preceding the Levian, before it was lost and it was given to the Levian, it's assuming responsibility is could be very dangerous. Indeed, there are many prohibitions involved in being a Kohen serving in the Beit HaMikdash. So his fear of assuming responsibility seems reasonable. Says Rav Moshe, no. Turning down responsibility is considered a bizayon because you're sort of shunning the opportunities that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives for you to be marbe kveit shemayim. And that we see with Pliny Almoni as well. He is sort of cast into eternal anonymity because he doesn't step up and take the opportunity of marrying Rus, and Boaz does. And Boaz therefore becomes the great-grandfather of David HaMelech, etc., etc. The second idea we saw, that fascinating Kliyoka, why does Esau say, I'm waiting for Yemei Eivel Ovi, that when Yitzchak dies, then I'll be able to attack Yaakov when he's sitting Shiva. Why then? Because he won't have Torah to protect him. And therefore, he waits for the days of mourning because Yaakov knows that, Esau knows that when Yaakov is not learning Torah, then he'll be able to penetrate him. The trouble is he can learn Torah's novel, just he can't learn Torah, which is Misameach. Says the Avi Shulman, therefore you see from here that Dafka Torah with Simcha is Megan. Learning Torah without Simcha is not the same. And that's what the Pnei Menachem says regarding that Arachayim, that learning, learn Torah when you're not happy. Teretz is that you see from here that learning Torah without Simcha is not really learning. And then we saw the amazing Gematria of Reb Asochan and Zonfeld, Bo Achicha B'mirma. What's Mirma, says Rashi, B'chochma, where is the Chochma? The Teretz is because he stayed the night, he gave him the Pesach and it was Afikoman, and therefore it prevented Yitzchak from even partaking of anything that Esau would subsequently bring. And therefore Afikoman is Gematria, B'mirma, 287, and that was the Chochma that Yaakov achieved. And lastly, that lovely insight to the Maskel of David, what does it mean at the end of the Pasuk, that Yitzchak is sending Lavan to... he's sending Yaakov to Lavan, who is Achei Rivka, the brother of Rivka, Ein Yaakov Esav. What's it hinting to? It's hinting to this famous Gemara in Bava Basra, that Reiv Bonim Daimin L'Achei Ha'Ein, and therefore I don't know who this Lavan is, because I normally can be guided by the nephews, but that doesn't help me in this instance, because these two nephews, one's a Tzadik, one's a Rosha, therefore it doesn't tell me anything. Some wonderful insights into this week's parasha. I wish you well, and a very good Shabbos. Thank you for listening. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.